Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, Jesus our risen Savior, and the Holy Spirit he breathed into us this day. She was never quite sure why she first had come, but she was there again, this time over her lunch hour. The first time it was in those days after everyone had left, when the house got so quiet that she found herself with nothing else to do and wanting just to see it. And so her car had driven her there, and she stood. The soil turned over, the grass seed spread, the name placard, temporary, there at the head. She'd gone back to work eventually, and it seemed so meaningless. And so over her lunch time, she got in her car again, and it drove her through town, and it found its way there. She didn't quite know why she was parked in the drive, but she got out, and she walked over. And day after day, she watched the grass grow. One day, the temporary placard became a headstone. And then it finally happened. Right next to where she stood, a blue tent. A family gathered for their own overturned dirt. And the words of a priest, when the wind carried them just right, the valley of the shadow of death. A lamb of his own flock, a sinner of his own redeeming. She stood and waited. She was late getting back to work, but she wanted to watch as a family left to their cars. Finally, one by herself made the slow journey from graveside to car. They didn't make eye contact, but they saw each other. And so it was that a few days later, there Jess found herself standing yet again, but this time not alone. For there was a companion a few sites over, where the dirt had been turned and the seed had been spread and the name placard, temporary, set in its place. It became a daily habit, the two of them standing alone and yet side by side. After a few days, Jess finally walked over and stood. The name placard she had not yet read said, Peter. No words were said, but the two women stood and understood each other. Day after day, they began to stand next to each other more regularly until finally the older woman, some 50 years, said so softly, I'm Mary. I'm Jess. Over the days and weeks that would come, they began to say little things. Mary said, it was 63 years, high school sweethearts. Jess said, we met at a work party. It was 7 years. He was a contractor. He built homes and we moved all over the state. He was an engineer. He built bridges. The stories they told kept their partners alive. And the time that they spent together began to heal these two women. But neither one of them knew why they'd first come. What was it that had drawn them to this place and to this restoration of life? That's what the women, Mary and the other Mary, experienced on that first morning. They didn't know why they were going. The tomb had been sealed. The stone was not going to be moved. But they needed to see They needed to be with each other. They needed to tell the stories of hope that had filled them and remember the one who had given it to them. But that's where the story diverges. See, when they got to that place, it was not overturned soil and grass seed, but earthquake, lightning, and a tomb left wide open. An angel sitting on that stone like it was a plaything and saying to them, "Look, the one who you knew was crucified, he is not here. He is risen." And so the stories that they told were the stories of new life, the stories that healed them and their friends, the stories that made possible this moment we share today. They left that tomb with the mix of fear and great joy. It couldn't possibly be. The one who was dead is alive. And yet, what did it mean? How could it be? What would be the retaliation of Rome? And still they told the story. Again and again, Mary and the other Mary, they told it as they clung to his feet. They told it as they encountered his disciples. They told it every day, every second, as they witnessed with their lives to the hope that was within them. They told it so that it could settle into your ears, into mine. How could it be? This one that was dead is now alive. It's impossible. And yet, they told the story. Jess and Mary, they kept coming, and one day Jess realized that she was feeling a little guilty because she was looking forward to that time. The grass had grown, the headstones were now placed, and most of their visits were filled with laughter. The silly things of their memories and the experiences that they shared, the life that they had lived, the love that they had so deeply known. And yet she went with the guilt about the laughter and the joy, with the fear that one day it would be over. And so it was. She stood again in that blue tent. The soil had been turned over, and there was that temporary name card. But Jess knew, as long as the story was told, life would be real. And so it is for us. As long as we tell this story, Christ is alive in us and through us, thanks to the women who with fear and great joy first told it. He is risen. Alleluia.